Yes, people, you are tuned in to another episode of Cricket Talks Extra. The host is Mo. Hope you're all good. I'm here with another episode of Cricket Talks Extra. We're going to be looking at Pakistan, New Zealand, the second T20. Now, if you caught up with the other episode that was just before this of Cricket Talks Extra, I spoke about, I don't know how it added up to half an hour, but it did, but I spoke about problems that Pakistan went into during the game, what we knew around the series and the context around it, and you know, things that they need to work on for the next game. I made that probably about 6 hours before the game happened. It was about midnight when I made it, which is fairly late, I know, but there's no rules. But I'm going to be looking at it again, and I'm going to kind of use this extra episodes to dedicate towards this T20 series, and then we're going to talk a bit about it, hopefully, on my actual weekly episodes. So in this one, I'm going to be talking about, again, Pakistan, New Zealand, the second T20. Frankly, I'm disappointed once again. New Zealand won by 9 wickets, 4 balls to spare. They chased 164 in only 19.2 overs. The problems? Runs. It's as simple as that. It's happened again. Runs is the problem. They're not putting enough runs on the board. Now, I unfortunately didn't manage to watch all of the game. I managed to watch a little bit of it, and I took out what I could from the highlights, but from what the scorecard shows, and the scorecard does explain a lot, but it doesn't explain the context. You know, cricket is a game that isn't defined on paper whatsoever, but it looks as if it's runs. The problem is runs. Yes, the bowling wasn't great. You know, Wahab Riaz didn't have an amazing game, 1 over 19 runs. You had Haris Ralph, who's pretty high in economy, Shaheen Afridi, who had a bit of a blip, 38 runs for his 4 overs, which is very much unlike him, especially wicketless. Imad Asim, 8.3 economy, 3 overs, 25 runs, not that bad. Shadab Khan, good overs as a captain, 4 overs, 24 runs. Fahim Ashraf impresses once again, but that clearly wasn't really the issue. The fact is, if 170 was on the board, if 180 was on the board, anywhere around those scores, Pakistan would have been in so much more competitive position. It's unbelievable. I said this in the last episode. 150 wasn't enough, 160 isn't enough. It has to be 170 upwards. T20 cricket has changed, and despite hard conditions in international cricket, a lot of the time you're going to be looking at scores a lot more closer to 200 than you are below that. And it's until you get to points where you're in, say, the World Cup, where, you know, scores like 130 suddenly do become competitive. But this is all contextually based. And in this scenario, 160 was not enough. I said it in the last episode, and I've said it again. Pakistan put 163 for 6. It looked like a scrambling effort, barring Mohammad Hafeez's great knock, but it clearly wasn't enough still. There was another collapse in the top order, apart from Mohammad Rizwan, 22 of 20. Not amazing, but it is what it is. 22 of 20, we'll take it. Haider Ali looks as if he went off for again, 8 of 4, 1-6, 200 strike rate. He didn't put a price on his wicket. He had to open in this case. Abdul Shafiq stepped down to 3 and got another duck. It's not good enough, to be honest. It's as simple as that. If Pakistan want to improve by any means, and you know, the World Cup is looking like to be, it's going to be in about 9 months, they need to make major improvements with their batting. Babar Azam cannot be the you know, established player in the top order only. You know, Rizwan needs to sort of step up. He needs to have an innings. Haider Ali, yes, you're young, but you know, 8 or 4 and 5 or 3, if I'm not wrong, in the last game, it's not really good enough. You know, he's got so much potential. He needs to put a little bit more of a price on his wicket. I spoke about last episode that he was told to put a price on his wicket, and you know, the implications that this had. You know, the media was talking about, you know, they're going to make him into another Misbah Haq and all of this stuff. It's rubbish. The reality is, we've had a player who didn't put a price on his wicket, Shahid Afridi. Yes, he was an entertaining player. Yes, he was an amazing player. He had great strike rates. Provided a lot of handy innings when we needed it the most. But imagine if a player like Shahid Afridi stepped it down just slightly, didn't swing at everything, if 30% of their runs, say, weren't going to third man off cutting balls. Imagine if that score was from 50 off 18 or 50 off 20 to maybe 63 off 30. Now, to me, that's what I'd prefer. I don't know about you guys, but that's personally what I'd want. So let's go through the game. Talk about, you know, each player's performances. So to start with Pakistan, obviously they batted first. I'm not going to go a huge amount again into New Zealand, and I can't talk much about their players, but there isn't really much to talk about. They just played well. They had their they had their key players scoring at key moments, and it is what it is. Duffy bowled in the last game, when on debut, performed exceptionally well, and their batting wasn't amazing. They had a few collapses in the last game, but they clearly had players around them to take hold of that, including Tim Seifert, who's standing out both games now. So let's start with Pakistan's innings. 163 for 6 of their 20, a scrambling innings, to be honest, off the power play again. Rizwan, 22 of 20, 4-4 is 110 strike rate. You know, it's not amazing, but it is, we'll take it. Haider Ali, like I just said previously, he needs to put a little bit more of a price on his wicket. 8 of 4 and 5 of 3 isn't the best start. Yes, you have time to get used to the conditions, so you can't really be using that excuse anymore. We've been in New Zealand for a while now. Abdullah Shafiq, it's very, very hard to determine Abdullah Shafiq's future. He's 0 of 2 in this game, and if we look at the last game, he got 0 of 2 again. So it clearly isn't good enough. It's as simple as that. But I wouldn't want to drop him. The reason being that is we're going to look like hypocrites, or I personally would sound like a hypocrite in that. And it's not a matter of pride. It's more to do with Pakistan need to really sort out the way they handle their players now. Whether there's a whole thing of bias towards certain particular players. And we've seen that before, because look what happened to Fawad Alam, guys. An exceptional player. I don't know what was wrong with him. Pakistan clearly didn't like him, whether it's his stance, whether his political attitude, I don't know. But, you know, he missed out a massive amount of his career for absolutely no reason. Pakistan had been shambolic in during that period. They haven't had amazing performances during that period. We were on and off like we always were. And yes, every team can be on and off, but not Pakistan is a lot more on and off than other teams. You know, England have their off games, but they're majority good. Australia have their off games, but they're majority of the time they're good. Stephen Smith went, and you could see the impact, but they came back, and they're a huge amount stronger as a team in terms of chemistry and performances. Abdullah Shafiq, I don't want to get rid of him. Not off two in both games, yes I know, but he scored 41 on his debut against Zimbabwe. Yes, it's Zimbabwe, but a debut is a debut. There's a huge amount of pressure whether you like it or not, and 41 is a good score either way. I want to keep him at 3 since we don't really have any more options anyway. I wouldn't be too annoyed at Haider Ali batting at number 2 again. So that sort of sums up the top 3. It wasn't great a performance from them. You know, we didn't take advantage of the power play. And yeah, it is what it is. Mohammad Hafeez, 99 of 57. I said in the last episode that he needs to stand up. He's had an amazing year. There's no reason why he can't finish it well. And, you know, Mohammad Hafeez, hats off to you, man. You know, 99 of 57. I'm pretty sure that's your highest score this year and in T20s, if I'm not wrong. 86 was your highest, which is against England earlier this summer, and you scored a 99 of 57. Extremely impressive. There's a lot of talk about Mohammad Hafeez being similar to Shoaib Malik and his future being similar, but I've loved him for quite a few years now. He is a dynamic player, and despite being 40 years old, he does provide an X factor that Pakistan genuinely need. You know, he's an anchor in the middle order, where we've got Shadab Khan, Hushdul Shah and Fahim Ashraf right now, which isn't the most dependent on names in the lineup, but so Mohammad Hafeez does provide that comfort. I wouldn't want Shoaib Malik back in the side, but that's a whole other conversation. So Mohammad Hafeez is good enough for me. 19 out of 57, 10 fours, 5 sixes, 173 strike rate. For a 40-year-old man, I don't know about you guys, but that's pretty impressive to me. So hats off to him. He sort of stayed the innings. He carried us in that sense. So hats off to him. He finished not out as well, which is great to see. He took his innings right to the end. Apart from the last game, you know, where, like I said, he did a crossbat shot to mid-on for absolutely no reason on his first ball. He is an extremely clever player. He like Sarfraz Ahmed and, you know, Imad Wasim, he can dab the ball to third man a lot. It's his kind of go-to shot to rotate the strike. He knows he's got a great strength against spin, and he's clearly shown that, and he knows when to go big as well. He has no problem with hitting from the first ball either. Yes, he's slightly limited in the way because of his stance, but he's an extremely confident player, and 40 years of age brings a lot of experience alongside that as well. You know, alongside Shoaib Malik, he's one of the most experienced players, active players, to be honest, right now. And now Shoaib Malik's gone, he probably is the most active player. Next, Shadab Khan, captain, batting number 5 yet again. 4 of 7. It's not amazing. Jimmy Neesham got him out this time. 57 strike rate, 4 of 7. He did waste a couple balls, but it is what it is. He did score an important innings last inning, so you can't really criticise him a huge amount. He's an all-rounder in a sense. the fact is he's an all-rounder, you know. I wouldn't be wanting to rely my innings on him, but if he could contribute a few more runs, that would have massively helped. But I am not going to blame the whole innings on him. Yes, he could have put out 15 or, you know, 10 or 20 or 12, but the fact is the top order, the top three need to stand up. Haider Ali needs to have a standout innings. Mohammad Rizwan needs to score 40 the next game. It's as simple as that. Husrul Shah, 14 of 20, again, wasting balls. He did it the last game as well. He either needs to rotate strike and make that, otherwise he needs to get out. It's as simple as that. Fahim Ashraf needs more time, and Imad seems more than capable to finish off the innings himself. I think Husrul Shah has this, it looks as if it's a mental issue. You know, I can't speak for him because it's contextual, obviously. But it looks as if Husrul Shah, he either wants to launch it for six or he doesn't. This is as simple as that. He won't really look to rotate strike too much. I think he has a point that he wants to prove, and doing that has also led him to losing his wicket and wasting a lot of balls to us. You know, six balls he wasted, that's a whole over. 163 we put on the board, an extra six balls where Husrul Shah maybe got out or rotated the strike. You know, we could be on 170, we could be on 175, and suddenly we've got a whole lot more competitive score. Yes, Kane Williamson and Tim Seifert had us on ropes, but, you know, cricket is not a game played on paper. You know, we could have all of a sudden had a great innings from a great spell finishing off with Wahab Riaz and could have gone from 19 runs of his first over to, you know, six off the next, and suddenly we could have won the game by a marginal amount. So Husrul Shah, he needs to sort himself out. Is Hossein Thalith an option? Yes. Do I want him to see him play? I don't know. Hossein Thalith has unfortunately been treated very badly by the PCB. I don't know why. I don't know the context around it. But, you know, he needs, whether it's he gets picked in the next game as an option or not, I'm not sure. He does offer the right, he does offer the left arm. Or is he right arm? I'm not entirely sure. He's a left arm batsman, so he does offer the bowling option as well, medium pace, which can always be handy when Wahab Riaz is going for runs. So it is a very much a viable option. Imad Asim, 10 of 5, 2 4s, no 6s. It is what it is. He didn't get many balls to face. He did what he could. I'm not entirely disappointed at that. Maybe if he batted ahead of Imad Asim, you could have had a few more runs on the board. You know, 4 or 5 from Raheem Ashraf. Maybe that could have been a 170 score. So that's how it is. Trent Bolt bowled pretty well. Tim Southee obviously stood out. Fair enough, got the man of the match, 21 runs for 4 wickets, 5.5 economy, 5.25 economy. Extremely impressive. You know, the way T20 cricket has changed in the recent times, a 6 economy, which was used to be a runner ball, was very, very respectable. But the way it's sort of transformed, and I guess T10 has maybe been a contributing factor towards this, is that even going for 7.5 runs and over in T20, you know, that comes up to, what, 28 runs? 30 runs is an impressive spell, because batting as a whole has changed. There's so many more ways to score. It has put the pressure back on the bowler, and you know, cricket's a batsman's game, so 5.25 is extremely impressive. It obviously shows the wealth of experience that he brings to the team alongside Trent Bolt, and together they put out only 54 runs between their 8 overs, which is very, very impressive. Kyle Jamieson, a player that I love, reminds me a bit of Cameron Green, went for 43 runs off his 4 overs. I don't think they're going to be entirely disappointed. They probably are still going to play him off the next game. He's an impressive player. He's a tall player. He offers that bounce. And if we look at, you know, if you look at the game or you look at the analytics around it, Pakistan once again struggled with the short ball. You know, Tim Southee's 4 overs, a lot of it was a good length, short of good length, and he had one yorker. And this is all to right-hand batsmen, since we don't have many left-hand batsmen, but it clearly showed, you know, where Pakistan's really missing out right now. If I was them, I'd get right in the nets, and I want to see them sweating from facing the short ball. I want them to be facing the short ball 100 miles an hour. If they get injured, it is what it is. With Lofbar Brazem, it's a 2-0 loss. It is what it is. But they need to work on the short ball. Like I said in the last episode, they had this issue with in the World Cup when they played West Indies, and we were absolutely getting bumped everywhere, which is really stupid. It's shambolic. It really clearly shows a lack of ability to adapt to the conditions in time. We've had more than enough time to adapt, so I don't see why it's still a problem. Scott Kugelhine, 3 overs for 33 runs, 11 and over. It is what it is. Jimmy Neesham had a good 2 overs for 1 wicket, 10 runs, and Isoli bowled well yet again. Isoli obviously bringing in a lot of experience with the leg spin. A bit slept on, in my opinion, but so is the whole New Zealand team. But yeah, we're going to look away from that. New Zealand obviously went out to bat, chasing 164 to win. The scorecard kind of speaks for itself. You don't really need to look at the game, or you don't really need to listen to me. Martin Guptill, 21 of 11. He went to a pretty big start. He went for 190 strike rate. Obviously couldn't capitalise completely, but he did the damage as it was. Fahim Ashraf yet again with another wicket. Tim Seifert finished not out in the last game, if I'm not sure. While he's made a 50. He made 84 this game of 63 runs, 8 fours, 3 sixes, and 133 strike rate. That's an example of being able to both finding the balance between holding your wicket and playing aggressive at the same time. Kane Williamson, on the other hand, came back into the second T20, 57 of 42, 8 fours and a 6, 135. If you guys saw my episode, it was the one I was talking through my ultimate T20 team, so if you guys want to check that out, please do. It's available on this very podcast, or you can check out the visuals as well on YouTube, my blogs. We were talking about Barbara Azam and Kane Williamson and Joe Root. There is still a very much... Aaron Viles, the cricket connoisseur, spoke about this, and he made a very good point. There's still very much a position out there in T20 cricket, despite the high scores and the high strike rates for an anchor. And Barbara Azam, Kane Williamson, Joe Root, and arguably Darwin Milan provide that. It's all well and good having a 200 strike rate and, a huge amount of sixes in your cupboard, but the reality is, if you're 35 for 4, who's going to take you to 120 for 4, 15 overs? And big hitters can't necessarily always do that. Chris Gayle, if you have a Chris Gayle on your team, if you have an Andre Russell, they provide a huge amount of confidence to surge you up to high scores, but will they always be there till the end? The reality is no. And that's something I love about Barbara Azam, Kane Williamson, Joe Root, and, those kind of players, because they find the balance and the right balance between being able to be aggressive and still being able to keep his wicket. Barbara Azam, if you look at him, I talk about Pakistan cricket a lot. Fair enough, I am got Pakistani parents, I'm Pakistani, so it makes sense why. But Barbara Azam, he's extremely grounded in the way he plays his shots. He can, he knows. Barbara Azam especially, I'd put Joe Root and Williamson in the same bucket, and they know when they don't necessarily play a huge amount of aerial shots. They always look to play the grounded shots, and if they can't score off a boundary, a rotation of the strike is a minimum. They know when to rotate the strike, they can get the ones regardless. They can pick the gaps, they can manoeuvre the field. So that's something I really love about them. And then when the ball's there to hit, with constantly rotating the strike, you are putting the pressure back onto the bowlers. And when the pressure's back on, they bowl a bad ball, and you've got your 4, and suddenly you've gone from 1 for 1, 2 for 2, to 6 of 3. So that's a really good, it's a good kind of one or two people to have in your team. Hafiz is sort of representative of that as well. So 57 of 42, not the biggest strike rate, but he got the job done, which is as simple as that. We got thrashed 9 wickets. Yes, there was 4 balls remaining, but there was also 9 wickets. We had Devon Conway, Glenn Phillips, I'm guessing Jimmy Neesham would have come on to bat 4 to finish it off if it did get a little tight with his experience, but it clearly wasn't good enough, Pakistan have got some serious thinking to do, they've got some serious lectures to give out, and I wouldn't necessarily want to see many changes. If I did want to see any changes, I'd probably say Hushdil Shah for Hussain Dalit, since it's a 2-0 loss anyway. So you can be a bit more risk inclined and play players who are happy to play, but they need to have a serious think about the way they're going about their batting. PCB as a whole need to look at their covers, how long will it be that we're relying on Barbara Azam? If he gets another injury that's a bit more severe, say a broken arm, broken wrist, whatever, it's happened before, it happened in the English Test Series, what's going to happen then? Because we can't be reliant on him always at the top order. So, some food for thought there for you guys. If you want to let me know your thoughts, please DM me, email me, tweet me. My Twitter is MoBlogs. I'm very active on that, MoBlogs_. So tweet me your thoughts, and or if you want, go to the visuals on my last Cricket Talks video and just put down your thoughts below and we can have a conversation about that. That's no problem. So let me know your thoughts. This is Cricket Talks Extra. We talked about Pakistan and New Zealand, the second T20. Whether I talk tomorrow or not is another question. I'm not exactly happy right now with the result and with the next game that is coming up, whether Pakistan can actually deliver. It is on Tuesday, which is 2 days' time. But we'll see how it goes. So I'll see you guys on the next episode. Follow my socials, Twitter, Moblogs underscore, my YouTube, Moblogs. My Instagram that I'm not entirely active on, but I'm there, which is Muhammad Ali Official. So I'll see you guys on the next episode.